We're going to go ahead and get started. Do me a favor and open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 is going to be our text today. And I want to be the first to welcome you guys to the first ever 9:15 service of the year 2021. Yes, we've made it. 2020 is finally over. I hope it's a year that leaves and never returns. And what I want to do today is I want to talk about how we can actually make 2021 the best year yet. I think we're in need of some optimism. Wouldn't you agree? So we're going to talk about the year 2021. And what I want to do today is, the first thing I need to do is set my timer because I tend to babble and I don't want to go too late. All right. Here we go. We're good. All right. There we go. So what I want to do today is I want to teach you guys a word. This is a word that I know you are, that I know you know. But what I want to do is hopefully encourage you guys to use this word often. It's a word that is very effective. When used correctly, it can make you more productive, more efficient. It can make you a better spouse. It can make you a better parent. And most importantly, it can make you a better Christian. Do you want to know what the word is? All right. Here it is. Ready? The word is no. It's no, okay? N-O. The word is no. And I want to talk about this word today because I think it's a very important word. So first off, I want us to practice, okay? So everybody say it with me. Ready? Go. No. All right, let's say it three times. No, no, no. Turn to your neighbor and say to them, no. I'm sure you can think of a reason you said that later. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put a picture on the screen in just a second, and at the same time, we're all going to say the word no, and then I'm going to explain to you why we're saying it. Go ahead and put it up on the screen, please. Here we go. Everybody say it with me. Say no. All right. I am so glad I got to preach today. You have no idea. Guys, I'm telling you. Let me tell you why we're going to say no to Mr. Dabo Swinney here. This is the coach of Clemson football team. Before the playoffs came out, Mr. Dabo here made his top 25 list of the best 25 teams. Does anybody remember what he ranked Ohio State? That's right, number 11, all right? He says we didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. He says you guys are the number 11 team, to which we say no, all right? Emphatically, by 21 points we said no, right? We beat them by 3 touchdowns. It was so great. I didn't sleep that night. I went home and rewatched the game. I was up till 3, it was nuts. But here's the thing, guys. This word no, we're going to focus on this today because, like I said, it's a very important word. There's benefits on saying this word effectively. I read an article recently where a man, he's some project manager for a company, where he said that his strategies, he'll get to work, he makes his top 10 list of the most important things he has to do that day. When he finishes his list, he takes out his pen and he crosses out number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. He says no to the bottom 7 so that he can say yes to the top 3, okay? He spends more time focusing on the most important things, and then if he does those, then he'll do that. Saying no helps him say yes better. I've been a parent for over 9 years now, and some of you have been a parent way longer than that, but as a parent, we learn that this is a very important word, don't we? The word no. In fact, I'm afraid a lot of parents have not learned how important this word is today. My boy Jack came up to me, And I truly believe that saying no to your children in some cases can be the most loving thing you can do to your kid. That my boy Jack came up to me and he says, Dad, I want to watch TV and I want to play video games all day on Saturday. To which I responded, I kind of do too. but I let him watch some TV the day before. He had already had a ton of screen time. And I said, you know what, Jack, no. And he says, why, Dad? And I said, well, I can't do it. It's not good for you to have that much screen time. And he says, well, my friend's parents let me do it all day. My friend's parents let him do it all day, to which I responded, his parents don't love him, okay, which is not true. They do love him, but in this case, it was good that we limited his screen time, right? Saying no can be extremely effective, and this time of year, we focus a lot on saying yes, don't we? New Year's resolutions, right? We try to say yes to more exercise, say yes to better attitudes, say yes to praying more, say yes to reading your Bible more, say yes to spending time with family. Well, I don't want to say yes today. I actually want us to go the opposite direction, and I want to focus on the things that Scripture tells us to say no to, okay? And I actually believe that the word no is extremely necessary in order to grow in your relationship with God. I think that if we can't say no to certain things, it will hinder our relationship with God. In fact, my whole message can be summed up in this one statement, and let's put this up on the screen. This is the one thing right here. Ready? Saying yes to God means learning how to say no. Now, if you have a pen, I would encourage you to write that down. That's my main point. Saying yes to God means learning how to say no. We have to learn how to say no. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and dive into Scripture today, and we're going to talk about three things that at the beginning of this year, I think we need to very emphatically say no to. All right, so if you don't mind, Colossians chapter 3, let's all stand together. I'm going to read this. It'll be on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, it's going to be Colossians 3. We're going to read the first 13 verses, so hang in there with me, okay? All right, here we go. Verse 1. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ there is no Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also are to forgive. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everybody that showed up today. Lord, I first off want to thank you for this new year. Lord, I just pray that it can be a year that we can be extremely effective in our faith, Lord, that we grow in our faith and that we grow in sharing that faith with others. Lord, be with me as I speak. Lord, be with everyone here as we hear from your Scripture today. And Lord, I just pray that we can take to heart how there are things we need to say no to. And I pray that we can start this new year with a very, very aggressive attitude in living for you, Lord, and living against what the world says. We love you, God, and we thank you, and we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, you guys can take your seats. So on your outline, there's an outline on the back of your bulletin there, and there are 3 points. All 3 points start the same way: say no to blank. I'm going to have you fill in those blanks, and then you can just take notes underneath it. Let's go ahead and start with point number one. Okay, point number one is say no to idolatry. Go ahead and write that down. Say no to idolatry. Before we dive in, I want to just give you just a quick background on the Colossian church. This letter of Colossians, it's called an epistle. An epistle is another word for a letter. And this letter was written to the church in Colossae by a guy named the Apostle Paul. All right, we're familiar with Paul. In fact, I always tell people, if you don't know who wrote a book in the New Testament, just guess Paul, and chances are you're going to be pretty close to right. Okay, he wrote most of the New Testament, not all of it. But he wrote this to the church in Colossae. He didn't start this church. This was a guy named Epaphras who wrote it. And this guy knew who Paul was. He became a Christian. He went and started the Colossian church. Well, what had happened was, at some point in the church, there was these heresies that were rising up, where these believers were doing church together, and some heretical things were being said, things that went against what the Bible teaches, went against what God wants us to hear. And so this guy says, you know what, I'm going to go see Paul in Rome, and I'm going to talk to him about this. So Paul he's under house arrest in Rome. Colossians is considered to be one of the prison epistles, is what they call it. And he says, hey, listen, man, there's some stuff going down in my church. I would love to hear what you have to say about it. So Paul wrote this letter. And in this letter, he addresses the main heresy that they were facing. And the main heresy was that there were people in the church who were saying things like, Jesus isn't as divine as God the Father. They were diminishing his divinity, okay? They were saying, like, we as Christians, we put Jesus on the highest pedestal. All right, hopefully we know this, okay? He's on the highest pedestal. Jesus is who we try to act like. He's the person, we see him as fully God. However, there were people in this church that were saying, hey, Jesus was a man, which means he was not as godly as God the Father, not as divine. And so in doing this, they've lowered the view of Jesus. They've taken him off the pedestal, and they've lowered him down. Now, this is a real problem, okay? I would encourage you, anybody who's trying to tell you that Jesus is less than what he is, you need to avoid what these people are saying. This is a real problem. In fact, I thought as I was reading this passage, I said, man, this is really appropriate for what we're looking at in the United States today. Because in the United States, I think we would all agree that Jesus, in a lot of people's minds, has been taken off the pedestal and he's been lowered. Right? A lot of people don't have an accurate view of Jesus. They've taken him from his proper place. The problem with this is that in doing so, typically, Jesus is replaced with something else. When Jesus is removed from that pedestal, people will put other things in this place. We don't see him for who he really is. And when you put something over Jesus in his place, this is called idolatry. Okay? Idolatry is simply, it's just when you put something above God or above Jesus. And the problem with this is that in America, idolatry is very prevalent. I've heard somebody say once that idolatry is a very religious activity. And I remember hearing that and being like, idolatry is religious? But it is, right? I mean, you're worshiping something other than God. Don't be fooled that the United States is one of the most spiritual places in the world. I believe this. When I say spiritual, I mean that everybody in our country worships something. Okay, we all worship something. I did a sermon on worship once in here, and it's this idea that you're going to worship something. If it's not Jesus, it's something else. And in our country, we have taken Jesus off this pedestal. A lot of people have, and they've replaced it with something else. The reality is that anything can become an idol. Anything can become an idol in your life. Let's look at verse 2 again. This is verse 2 from that passage I just read. He says, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Essentially, he's saying, listen, we need to focus on God. We need to focus on Jesus, what's above. Don't focus on created earthly things, because when you focus on these things, you are taking those and putting them above Jesus, okay? And like I said, I find it ironic that in our time today, we can make anything an idol, because when I'm reading this passage and it says, set your mind on the things above, do you guys know one of the main things that I think we've idolized in this country? Is our minds. I think we've idolized our minds in this country. And allow me to explain this. I think this is one of the biggest problems we face in the United States. There's a book called Love Thy Body, and it's written by a lady named Nancy Piercy. And I would encourage you guys, write the name of that book down and buy that book. It's been a very good book for me to read. Every February in youth group, we will do a series called Guard the Temple. And it's this idea, it's a purity series where, you know, our bodies are a temple of Christ. And we're trying to teach the kids, guard your bodies. Don't just give your body away randomly to anybody, right? You save it for your spouse. Well, in this book here, Love Thy Body, she talks about how the body has been diminished in our current culture in terms of how it's viewed, and the mind has been elevated above all things, okay? Let me read you guys a quote from this book. It says, today, and this should be on the screen, today we treat the material world, including the Bible, largely as a construction of the human mind. There's no created order that we are morally obligated to honor or respect. The mind determines what is real for us. Let me reread that last line. The mind determines what is real for us. This is a problem. Last time I spoke on truth, and I talked about how it's a real problem today when somebody says, this is true for me, and somebody else says, this is true for me, and when they're in conflict, who's right? We're living in a time now where people think that their minds are the most important thing. What you think is what's most important. There's an 18th century philosopher named Immanuel Kant, and he says, what your mind thinks is real is real. It's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? We worship the mind, and we don't see the consequences that come from this by elevating the mind over the body. In fact, I've heard a couple things said that because the mind is so important and your heart is so important, listen, I've heard these statements said, you can have sex with as many people as you want to, just don't give them your heart. That's a terrible thing to say, right? You can give your body away to as many people as you want to, just don't give them your heart. I know a lot of you are familiar with that movie Pretty Woman, where she's a prostitute and she sleeps with all these guys, but she won't kiss the guy, will she, until she falls in love with him. That is so crazy to me, right? That they're willing to do that. We treat our bodies as if they're just a tool that we can use as we want. I've heard this statement, that you can be whatever gender you want to be. You can mutilate your body as long as what tells you? Your mind tells you that you're a different gender. God has created people biologically male and female. However, the body doesn't mean anything nowadays. It's what your mind tells you that's most important. It's a dangerous place to be because people are mutilating their bodies for this stuff. We are living completely out of balance. Focusing just on the mind and idolizing the mind, I think, has caused us to be out of balance for how God has made us. God has made us mind, body, and soul. He's made us to think mentally. We got to focus on our mental state. We've got to focus on our physical state and then our spiritual state. okay? And when these things are out of balance, problems happen. All right, anybody in here a car person? Anybody here just love cars? Like, you like to buy nice cars and stuff? Okay, so two of you, that's awesome. So I'm not a big car person. My dad tried to get me into cars, and it just did not take, okay? He was trying to teach me how to change oil, and I mean, I know how to do it, but it just bored me and stuff. Well, funny story, the other day I was at Advanced Auto, or one of those auto places, and I go in there. My wife says, I need you to get some headlights for some new bulbs for the van. And so I go into the Advanced Auto, and when I get in there, I buy the bulbs, and I talk to the guy. I said, hey, is there anything I need to know? I've never done this before. And he goes, do you want me to just do it for you? And I said, that would be fantastic. And so he goes, all right. So we go out there. He's putting the bulbs in the headlights in. He pops the hood. He's putting them in there. And I'm just sitting there just watching them, right? And I was like, this is amazing. Wow, this actually isn't that hard. I hear this noise. I look over to the right, and there's a lady in her van. And I hear four children crying. Like, two of them are fighting. The younger two are crying. And it's all this ruckus coming from this van. And I was like, where's the mom? And then I look over. She's got the hood popped. And guess what she's doing? She's putting in headlights. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there watching this guy. And I go, I hope this mother of four does not look at me, and we make eye contact. So she looks over, and we make eye contact. She didn't say anything, but here's what I heard her say in my mind. You are not a man. And I sat there, and it was like, you know, I took out my man card and just cut it in half and threw it on the ground. And it's funny, I'm not a car guy, okay? But here's what I know about cars. Here's one things I know about cars. Is that it's very important, certain fluids in your car need to be taken care of, okay? Your coolant, your oil, and your gas, all right? If you're low on coolant, your radiator can overheat. If you're low on oil, your engine can seize. If you don't have any gas in your car, guess what? You ain't going anywhere, okay? Your car, if you're low or out of one of those three things, your car will not run properly. And guys, our lives are the exact same way. God has created us to be in balance, mind, body, and soul. And when we elevate one of these things over the other, bad things happen. I mean, think about this. Let's think about this the other day. Our students and our college-age students, they are told to have the experience, right? Go party, sleep around with as many people as you want. Give your body, just don't give your heart. Do you guys know that our students and college students, never in the history of the world has anxiety, suicide, and depression been as high as it is right now, right? They have elevated the mind, and now we're seeing this mental crisis. Don't we have a mental health crisis in this country right now? We see this, LGBT community, right? Do you guys realize that the suicide rate of the transgender community is 40%? 40% pre and post surgery. People say, well, give them the surgery and everything will be fixed. It's not true. There's clearly an unbalance there. In my opinion, I think it's the most unloving thing you can do is to let them go through with this surgery. Like, we got to help them in different ways. Guys, Americans, let's talk spiritually, right? We've given our souls away to everything else besides God in this country. We are spiritually dead in this country. So my question for this first point is, are you in balance? As we're starting this new year, 2021, I think it's so important that we look at our lives mentally. Mentally, are you focused on God or the things of this world? Physically, are you taking care of your body? Are you eating well? Are you sleeping well? Are you exercising? And then lastly, like, spiritually speaking, are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Are you going to church? Are you in a life group? These things are so important, and it's important to be in balance. When you focus on one and you don't focus on the others, you will be out of balance, and it's not the way God created us. This is idolatry, is when we put certain things above others. And remember, guys, so the first thing we're saying no to this year is say no to idolatry. Don't put things in front of Jesus. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two is say no to pride. Say no to pride. All right? Let me read you verses 12 and 13. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Is anybody familiar with the author J.K. Rowling? I imagine most of us have heard. If you don't know the name, she's the lady who wrote the Harry Potter books. And to say that this lady is famous is an understatement. She probably has a godlike status to some people. People love these Harry Potter books, all right? She's one of the richest ladies in the world. And there was one day that a scientist came out and wrote this article on the transgender community saying, hey, I think we need to do some more research before we just go giving these transition surgeries just right off the bat. I think this is having some psychological damage here. Let's do some research. Let's see if there's other things we can do. And J.K. Rowling on her Twitter said, she tweeted one day, I agree with this lady, let's help these people. And the storm of criticism she got for this was crazy. People started boycotting her. They said, I'm never going to buy a Harry Potter book again. I'm never going to watch the movies. She's dead to me. Cancel her for everything. And this isn't just happening to her. This is happening everywhere. I don't know if you guys remember, it might have been 2 years ago, Kevin Hart, the comedian, was supposed to host the Oscars. An old tweet resurfaced that he tweeted like 10 years ago, and everybody went after him. And he goes, I've apologized for this, right? And they said, nope, doesn't matter. We don't forgive you. You need to be canceled. So he stepped down. This is a phenomenon called cancel culture. Have you guys heard this term before? Cancel culture. Essentially, it's prevalent today because we're so divided over everything. When someone disagrees with you, it's not enough that they disagree. They want to destroy you, right? You see this a lot with a lot of famous people. So we've got a lot of division in our country. And here's the thing. We've always had division in our country. Yes, we have, right? The problem, I don't think, lies in how much division there is. I think rather it lies in how little unity there is. And here's what I mean by this. I know two brothers. One's a Buckeye fan. One's a Wolverine fan, okay? I feel bad for the Wolverine fan. But these two, they're brothers, and every year they fight over which team is the better team. It's been a one-sided fight lately. But they have these arguments, and every week they're like, the Michigan fan's like, it's going to be my year. This is my year, right? And they fight, and you would think these two hated each other during rivalry week. However, when rivalry week ends, I remember I saw them, and they were just hanging out, and I was like, oh, we've gotten over our differences. Very cool. It's not the difference it's not the difference to focus on there. They stay friends and they stay close. Why? Because of what unites them. It's that they're brothers. The problem that I see in our country nowadays is not the division, it's that we don't unite over anything anymore. You guys remember, it used to be that simply being an American was what united us. We could all unite. I was telling the kids, the youth, this story a couple weeks ago, or a long time ago, but it's this idea that when I was watching the Olympics once, I had no idea who Michael Phelps was at the time and all these other swimmers. But when they started swimming, I'm like, go, go. And I was like, we did it. And my wife says, do you even know who these guys are? I was like, no, but they're Americans. And we're like freaking out, right? And it's this idea that it used to be that just being an American was what united us. Those days are gone. Like, it's not enough anymore to be an American. We fight. There's nothing that unifies us anymore. So the question is there anything that can bring unity? And I think there is, all right? We as Christians, we have this answer, okay? Here's the answer to this question. Is there anything that can bring unity? Yes, we are all unified in the fact that we are made in the image of God. That's what unifies us. Even being a Christian isn't what unifies us, because we have non-Christians in America, and then we've got Christians, right? But the fact that nobody can get away with, non-Christian or Christian, they're made in the image of God. And being made in the image of God means that we need to do as best as we can to love and to forgive this person if they offend you in some way, okay? Paul addresses the church, the Colossian church, because there was divisions within the church. He says this in this verse where he says, you know, forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, forgive each other. And here's the thing. You wouldn't think that within the church we have this problem, right? Man, I'm telling you, ever since working at a church, I am baffled by how much division there is within a church from people who argue. It baffles my mind. And I'm like, it shouldn't be this way, right? We shouldn't think the church struggles with this. Do you guys know what the reason is, though? It's this word, pride, all right? Just like I said, we say no to pride. Pride is what causes division. This is what causes division. Pride is what tells you that you're the most important. It tells you that you are right. It's what stops you from admitting that you were wrong. And here's the thing, guys. Pride is the opposite of Christianity. It's the complete opposite of Christianity. It stops you from forgiving others. I want to encourage you, write this down. This is a great quote, okay? You are never more like Christ than when you forgive someone. Write that down. You are never more like Christ than when you forgive somebody. What was Jesus' mission on this earth? He came to die on a cross and do what? Forgive us. Yet we can't even do it within the church walls? Listen to this quote. This is by a guy named Sheldon Vanuken. He says, the best argument for Christianity is Christians. It's their joy. It's their certainty, their completeness. But the strongest argument against Christianity is also Christians. It's when they are somber and joyless, when they're self-righteous and smug and complacent, consecration, when they are narrow and repressive. Listen to this. Then Christianity dies 1,000 deaths. Isn't that that is such a depressing line. Then Christianity dies 1,000 deaths. This is what pride does to a church, guys. This is what pride does to a church. We misrepresent Christ when we don't forgive. We misrepresent Christ when we don't forgive. We have to learn to let go of this anger. Let me show you this illustration real quick. Anybody who has a relationship with a friend, or it can be anybody, I want you to think of it as this rope here. You're on one end of the rope. The person is on the other end of the rope. Now, when things are great, the rope is straight like this. Everything's awesome. However, you have a fight. And what happens when you have a fight is there is a knot in the middle of the rope, okay? Now, at this point, you're faced with two options. Number one, you can forgive each other, all right, and then essentially untying the knot. When there's a knot in between you, it means there's something standing in between you guys, all right? When you forgive each other, guess what happens? The knot unties, and then everything is back to normal, good to go, all right? Here's the other option, though. What happens when you don't forgive each other? What happens is you go your way, your friend goes their way, and what happens to the knot? It gets tighter and tighter and tighter. You guys ever tried untying knots in your kids' kites before? It's awful, right? There's no way to get them out. I was looking at my wife, and I was like, just buy a new kite. We'll spend the $3 and get a new one, all right? The problem is, at some point, a knot becomes so tight it cannot be untied. And what happens then is you got to just take your scissors, cut the knot off, and then the relationship is over. Is this what Jesus wants for us in the church? No, not at all. We have got to learn to forgive one another within the church. And I'm not even talking about outside of the church. I'm talking just brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to learn how to forgive each other. One of our greatest tools for sharing Christ is forgiveness. Do you know this? When we forgive people outside of the church, it is such a great tool for evangelism. Listen to this. Over 70 million Christians have been killed for the sake of Christ since the early church was founded in the book of Acts. 70 million. So it's a baffling number. Most of their deaths were gruesome. They were barbaric. They were inhumane. It was terrible things. I've read a lot of stories, though, on people who were martyred for Christ and who've given their lives for Christ, and I kept running across this same quote, right? It happened so many times, and here's the quote: "Father, forgive them." Isn't that amazing? In the middle of being persecuted, in the middle of being killed, they say, "Father, forgive them." And we're talking gruesome deaths. And guys, this obviously we know where this came from. Jesus said this while he was on the cross. He's being nailed to the cross, and what does he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Do you guys remember the first martyr, Stephen, in the book of Acts? They were literally taking rocks and just beating him to death. They were stoning him. And what did he say? "Don't hold this against them, Lord." And then he went and saw heaven. Guys, we have to forgive one another. Listen to this. This is a great quote. This is by A.M. Hunter. Listen to this. He says, "To return evil for good is the devil's way. To return good for good is man's way. But to return good for evil is God's way." We have to learn to forgive. This is a serious problem that we face in the church, okay? You will never grow in your faith if you are not forgiving. It's just the reality. If you hold a grudge against somebody in this church, you will never grow in your faith, because that is the knot that's standing in between you, not just in that person, but between you and God, okay? So what I want you to do as we finish this point is I want you to think of a person. Is there somebody in your life? Now, don't say this out loud. Is there somebody in your life that you need to forgive? As 2021 starts, is there somebody in your life that you need to say, you know what? No, I'm not going to let pride stand in the way. I'm going to mend this relationship. And then I want you to ask yourself these two questions. Think of this person, and then ask yourself, are you letting pride stand in the way of forgiving that person? And then here's the second question. Has this person treated you worse than Jesus was treated on the cross? I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. I don't think that the person who offended you was any worse than a Roman soldier who nailed Jesus to the cross. Yet what did Jesus do? He forgave. Christians, we have to forgive. Like I said, it's impossible to grow in your relationship if you can't let go of the anger in your heart, which is caused by pride. So say no to pride, okay? Here's our last point, and then we'll finish. Point number three, say no to the past. Say no to the past. I think this is one of the main things that we need to say no to this year. So a lot of people let their past stop them from living for God in the present. Maybe you've done something in the past. Maybe there's somebody that you can't forgive because of what happened in the past, and that's preventing you from living for God in the present. Listen to this. Christians are defined by their future, not by their past. Christians, we are defined by our future. We're defined by what Jesus not only did for us on the cross, but what he's going to do when he comes again. I feel like we got to remind ourselves of this often. Do you guys realize that we are going to be spending eternity with Jesus? That's an awesome thing, isn't it? Do you realize that one day Jesus is going to come again and take full control and we get to reign with him forever? These are awesome things. That is what defines us, right? It's the coming of Christ that defines us. We have a hope in eternity. Verse 4 of this passage I read, it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. It talks about how we need to focus on the future. I got to hear a pastor recently. He had this really cool quote. He says, you know, when you're younger, you are more concerned with destiny, right? When you're young, all you're thinking about is what's laying ahead. He says, however, when you're older, you become more concerned with legacy. It's what you're leaving behind. What are you leaving to your kids? What are you leaving the world? And I'll be honest with you guys. This is one of my biggest fears. I tell my wife this often. I don't want to be 80 or 90 years old or however old I am and look back and just say, man, I really wasted my life. That's a huge fear of mine. That this is why, like, every decision we make, I'm like, let's pray about this. Let's make sure we're doing what's right for God. Because I don't want to look back and just say, man, I really missed the boat there. Could I have done more? Could I have shared the gospel more? Could I have done more for Christ? This is one of my biggest fears. And personally, I want to have an impact for Christ as big as possible. And I believe that if we keep our mind on what lies ahead, if we can just focus on the future instead of what is behind us, I think that'll motivate us to live greatly for Christ. Listen to this quote. This is by C.S. Lewis. I have a Mount Rushmore of Christian influences in my life, like the four top. And C.S. Lewis is one of them. In fact, I have to tell people he takes up two of the faces on the four. He wrote a book called Mere Christianity. Write that down. If you've never read that book, buy it. It's awesome. But here's a quote from this book. He says, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who do most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. Isn't it awesome? It's what we know is coming in the future should define what you do in the present. Let me tell you a quick story, and then we'll finish. I've got a friend named Rusty, and Rusty is our 10th grade small group boys leader in youth group. And Rusty was, I had him over for a football game the other day, and Rusty was telling us a story that he was watching the Green Bay Packers play somebody, and then Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, comes onto the screen. And Rusty said that he looked at this quarterback, and he was watching it with his boy Grant, and he goes, he looks at him, he goes, man, I can't stand Aaron Rodgers. And Grant goes, really? Why is that, Dad? And he goes, he never spends time with his family. He's like estranged from his family. I just don't like it. And then Grant looks at him. He goes, Dad, when's the last time you've talked to your dad? And this was a gut check for Rusty because Rusty grew up a Mormon. And when Rusty got married, he ended up marrying a Christian lady, and he left the Mormon church. And so when he left the Mormon church, his father became very upset with him. He says, nope, you need to stay Mormon. And he goes, I can't do this, Dad. Like, I found Christ. I love Jesus. I'm marrying a Christian woman. I can't turn back to the Mormonism. And so what this did was it caused this knot in their relationship. And for years and years and years, they didn't talk. So when they're watching this game and his boy says to him, when's the last time you've talked to your dad? Rusty goes, oh, it was like a gut punch, right? So he says, you know what? I'm going to call my dad. So about a year ago, he calls his dad. And Rusty was telling me this. He says, Matt, I felt like once a month or just often I felt God trying to, like, I felt the need to mend this relationship, to untie this knot, but I chickened out, right? Essentially, he was letting the past define his current decision. Well, what happened was he called his dad, and he says, Dad, I'd like to come and see you. And the dad says, I've been wanting this too, right? And it was like they both were there, but it just took somebody to take the first step. So then he goes out to see his dad. They spend about a week or two together, and they mend their relationship. He got to share Christ with his father. I don't know if he accepted Christ or not, but he got to do these things. And Rusty says, you know, Matt, it was just awesome. It was awesome, you know, and I felt like as a Christian, I'm obligated to do these things. Well, almost a month ago, his dad passed away, okay? About a month ago, he was walking to the bathroom. He slipped. He was like 80-something years old, slipped, hit his head on the sink, and he had a brain bleed, and he died. And I remember Rusty calling me. He says, hey, pray for my family. My dad's, he's passing away. Like, they couldn't control the bleed. And I said, how you doing, man? He goes, Matt, let me just tell you this. He says, thank God we got this straightened out. Could you imagine? He says, it terrifies me to think how I would be feeling right now if that knot was still in our relationship. Because he did not let the past dictate the present. He let the future dictate the present. He says, as a Christian, this is something I need to do. And he told me that, yeah, my dad dying is a really sad thing, but I'm not devastated because we made it right. All right? So, Kathy, if you want to come on up, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you guys, because I think that as this year comes, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I'm very optimistic. I am so excited for 2021. I really am. I think that this last year we've had a lot of issues, but man, I think the church has risen above it, and I really feel like we're going to see some good things in 2021. And so again, what I want to encourage you guys to do, number one, say no to idolatry. Are there things in your life that you need to say, no, I'm going to take that off the pedestal where Christ is, and I'm going to put Christ back where he belongs? Ask yourself that question. Number two, are you saying no to pride? Are you allowing pride to stand in between you and another, first off, believer in the church here? Guys, we've got to get it straight within the family before we can take it outside of the church. Think about this. Is there anybody that you need to seek forgiveness from? Is there somebody you need to apologize to? And I want to encourage you, don't let the day go past. Text that person, email that person, whatever it is. And then finally, are you letting the past dictate your present? Are you letting the past mistakes that you've done stop you from living for Christ? Are you letting past arguments that you have with other believers hinder you from growing in your relationship with Christ? Or are you saying, you know what? It doesn't matter what happened in the past. What matters is what is going to happen in the future. That's what matters most. Do not let the past dictate. Guys, let's say no this year. All right, let's say no to these things. And let's see what God can do with our church in Westerville.